5 this morning, Mark chapter number 5. I can't speak for one person in this room other than for myself, but I was scared to death of the dark. I ain't over it yet. I like flashlights. So I heard all my life as a kid, because I had older cousins, about monsters and boogeymen. And they lived under my bed and in my closet. Anybody heard those stories before? Anybody sleep with a light on? No? Yeah? It's okay. We're children of the light. Y'all, rest of you can stay in the dark. You can. I like the light. And when I read the story of this man in this lesson today, probably, if there ever was a boogeyman, this guy would have been him. This happened at the end of a miracle that Jesus had done. Jesus had been on a boat with his disciples. He was asleep, and they were in a storm. And the Bible said that the disciples woke Jesus up, and aren't you afraid we're about to die? And Jesus went up on the bow of the ship, and he said, "Peace be still," and the waves stopped, the wind quit blowing, the storm was over. And they made it to the other side, and that's where this story picks up. So they just got out of the boat after having a great miracle. And the Bible said in verse 1, they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. When I was a teenager, I'm talking about a junior, senior, and high school teenager, we used to love to scare girls. We did. And one of the things we would do, we had some rumors going around at school that there were some churches that were empty now, but they were haunted. And especially one particular church called Sweeney's Chapel. And behind Sweeney's Chapel was a graveyard. And there were some scary things that happened in that graveyard. So one Friday night, 5 of us boys went to the cemetery, and 2 of us hid in the cemetery. And I say 2 of us. I was one of the 2. And the other 3 guys went back to town in a pickup truck to load up a bunch of girls to bring them and scare them. So we're in the cemetery, hiding behind stones. It's dark, dark, dark in this place. And it seemed like forever. And I could hear stuff. And all of a sudden, something tapped me on the back. And I turned around, Grace, and there's this lady in black. And she had long black hair, and she had a stick. And I took off running. And my buddy said, "What's going on?" I said, "Run!" And I ran about a quarter to a half a mile and met the truck full of girls. And I said, "Go to town!" And I jumped in the truck and we went. It was for real, a real lady. Her name was Ophie. And she lived down in the bottom. And she kind of lost her mind as she got older. And her husband was buried in that cemetery. And I don't know how she slipped in on me. But she did. And she scared me to death. And I had not been in that cemetery till this year. And actually was in that cemetery yesterday and did a funeral with the family of that lady. So I had to tell the story. And they said, "Brother Steve, she scared us too." So it's real. So this was not a Steve story, but this was a Jesus story. And he gets off the boat, and there is a man living in the tombs. And they were like hewn out places in the rock. And this man was living in them tombs. He was naked. He was chained because people in the city had chained him, afraid he could do things. And so they put him there, and he just dwelt and lived in the tombs. The Bible tells us on in verse number 5, and he was always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying, cutting himself with stones. I want you to imagine, the Bible tells us this man had a devil in him, a demon. And they're going to call out in a minute to this man, demons, and there's going to be more than one. And we're all sitting here in our church, and we don't have demons today. Or do we? You know, the demons are a subject, Brother John, preachers don't preach about. We're just going to skip the demon stuff, Brother Steve. Don't scare the kids. Well, Jesus wrote the book. This guy was full of demons. Now, what in the world, Brother Steve, are demons? Demons are the evil forces. The Bible tells us that in this world is good and evil. And the war is always going on, Brother Bobby, with good and evil. They're constantly clashing and butting heads. Good and evil. Good and evil. Jesus, Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. You and I today are living in the same world that Jesus was living in, and he wrote this story. If they were people possessed in Jesus' day, I'm telling you there's people possessed today. Our problem is we've changed the terminology. We don't call them demons anymore. We call it addiction. Listen, I'm going to give you some staggering statistics this morning. I want you to think about what I'm going to tell you. One out of five people. I know you're going to disagree. I don't believe that one, Brother Steve. One out of five people think about suicide. Every 12 seconds, somebody commits suicide. This past week, my son got a call from someone who's been visiting in church. Young, married, took his life. And I want you to know that's not the only story coming out of our county. In a lot of our deaths just recently, suicide is on the increase. You think one in five people have thought about it. And people say, I think that's kind of a high number. I don't, because I'm going to tell you why. Brother Scott, there was a day and time in my life that I got to that point. I've been there. I'm not happy about that, but it was a dark time and I got there. And I'm telling you, if the devil can take a preacher there, he can take anybody there. I remember being in Belize and 9/11 happened. And we watching television coming out of Mexico, which is not filtered. People were leaping from buildings. And Brother Wayne, there was no way they could survive a jump. But they had the alternative, live and go what they're going to go through, or jump. And people had made the decision to jump. I'm trying to say today, here's a guy who I think had tried everything. Let me tell you how I know that. Look at verse number 5. I came through this a few years ago as a pastor. And I'm telling you, it's an epidemic. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not in this room. I know it's watching. But watch what this guy was doing. He was in the tombs crying and what? What? Anybody in this room heard of cutting? Some of the older people are like, alright, what? Listen, it's an epidemic in our schools today. Kids are cutting. I've been through with it as a pastor. I've seen it. And I say, why would you cut your body? And the answer is to take away the pain of the other thing that's hurting me. Can I tell you why people drink alcohol? Do you know that 12 million people in this country are considered alcoholics? 12 million. Have you ever wondered why the place that sells it is called spirits? Did anybody hear what I just said? The sign says spirits. The devil is working through substance today. In the book of Revelation, he used the word sorceries, which comes to the word narcotics, pharmaceuticals. We live in a world of pills. And I'm telling you, the devil uses that. They become demons to people. If you've ever been addicted to something, you can't tell me it's not like a demon talking to you, causing you to want it, causing you to do crazy stuff. The forces of evil are working against the people of the world. You say, Brother Steve, I really didn't come to church to hear all of this. I want you to know today what the forces of evil are trying to do. They're trying to keep people from being saved. They're trying to keep people from knowing Jesus. See, Jesus is the one that can give you true peace. You'll never find it in a bottle. You'll never find it in a pill. You'll never find it by cutting. And I want you to know this. You'll never find it in suicide. It's, you know what people say? I don't want to die, I just don't want to live. That's what they say. I'm telling you, that story today that you and I are living in our world today, it's been lived a long time. And here is a man that is possessed, he is cutting himself, he's running crazy, he is controlled by it, and he wants out. And I want you to see what I see. And I think it's probably the greatest thing you'll ever see. Verse 6. When he saw Jesus afar off. When he saw Jesus afar off. He ran. Not away. But to. I want you to picture church. I want you to picture the church. Because the church was with Jesus. And the church just got out of the boat, Scott. And the church is standing there with Jesus and thinking, woo, what a Savior we got. He just brought us through this storm. And all of a sudden you look in the distance and here comes a crazy man. He's got hair that ain't been washed in a long time. He's buck naked. He's got chains on. And he's squalling like a panther. And he's crazy. And he's running right to the church. Anybody seeing what I'm seeing? You tell me what the disciples are thinking. Woo! Jesus, do something! I'm so thankful that this crazy man knew where to run. How did he know where to run? I asked myself as I studied this week, I said, how did this guy know where to run? Picture, if you will, he's living in these tombs upon this limestone ledge, cliffs, where they buried people. And it was right at the edge of the sea. Do you think he saw that boat in the storm? Do you think he saw that guy stand on that boat and hold his hands out and seen that storm calm down? I think he did. And I think when that guy got out of that boat, I think as crazy as this man was, and as possessed as this man was, he knew if I could get to that guy right there, he might could fix me. Can I tell you all this very simply today? I don't care what you're going through this morning, Jesus can fix it. You say, Brother Steve, I don't know. I don't think I want to live like this. I hear that so often, it scares me. It scares me. I don't think I want to live like this. I see people that get diagnosed with some sickness. And they, I don't think I want to live like this. That one word scares me. Because I know God's in control of my life, Peggy. He know what I can live with. He know what He wants to use in my life to maybe get someone else to become a believer. But I want you to know, sitting in this room today, you know people, if you're not one, who's just like I just said. They've thought about it. They're thinking about it. They're trying to cover it up with something. I'm telling you, what you need is Jesus today. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. It says in John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Satan has one plan for your life. Well, I'm not sure there's a Satan. How could you say that? How many in this room know evil? Have you ever seen evil? Listen, I have seen evil. I've seen evil. I used to do a lot of preaching at the jail. And sometimes at the jail they let people who are on death row even stay sometimes or sentenced out in jail. They'll bring them in because they don't have room in prisons. I've seen people. I went to visit a guy in Belize, a young man, who killed a kid and burned his body. I said, I said in class with that boy when he went to school at the school, and now I was a preacher sitting in the room with him, and I'm looking at this face, and all I can see is anger and evil. Once was a good kid, Miss Michelle will tell you, but now he's got this evil in him, and he wanted to kill somebody, and he wanted to burn them. Evil's real. Have you ever seen it on people's face? I remember when I was a police chaplain in Colorado, there was a guy who tried to commit suicide. And when he pulled the trigger, it only took part of his face off. He lived with the rest of that. And when you talked to him about why he did what he did, he talked about how he was treated as a kid and how his dad kept pointing the gun at him, telling him, I'm going to kill you one day. He thought, I'll just beat you to it. Folks, there's evil in the world. And I want you to know the devil's out there and he wants to destroy your life. He does. Now, I got you three simple things and you can go home with this. But I hope you would not leave here without thinking about it. Three things I want you to ponder today. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to read, you can go with me there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible is talking about people who have heard the Word. So you say, I'm in church, and I hear the Word. What can the devil do to that? Verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Can I tell you what the devil wants to do this morning for you? He wants to blind your understanding. He wants to darken your understanding. He wants you You think and you understand, but you know what the devil's going to do when you walk out of this room? He's going to try to start darkening that. He's going to start watering that down. He's going to start, that guy's crazy up there. That guy was crazy telling you that stuff. Not one out of five people. He's crazy. There's not 12 million alcoholics. Not every 12 seconds somebody commits suicide. Those people are not really cutting themselves, are they? The devil wants to darken your understanding. The second thing I want you to see this morning is in Romans chapter 1. I'm wanting you to read these with me. I could have just quoted them to you, but I want you to read them with me. I want this to sink in this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? Look at me this morning just for a second. You say no to God enough, and your heart will start getting dark. You won't believe what you hear. You'll believe what other people say. Somebody was joking back there this morning. They were talking about monkeys. I think it's kid. He was talking about the monkeys and said, if evolution is correct, then why do we still have monkeys? That would be gone, right? If we've evolved from that, they wouldn't still be monkeys. But listen, the more the world teaches your kids, the more science gets in, your heart begins to be darkened, your understanding gets to be darkened, and all of a sudden, that starts making sense. That kid guy, he's a nut anyway. He don't even know what he's talking about. Listen, the world is trying and it's doing a good job of darkening our understanding and darkening our heart. But there's one more thing. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to read this with me if you would. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 4. Let me read 3 with it. If I ask this question this morning, we're done. You don't have to stress. If I was to ask you this question this morning, if you were to die right now, where would you go? Could you be on the shout of a doubt and say, I know I'd go to heaven, I know I'd be with the Lord, I know. I would pray that would be everybody in the room. But I dare say in a room this size, there's probably somebody, more than one, is probably thinking, I don't know for sure. You say for sure, brother. You say for sure, or you think or hope. No, I'm saying for sure. I would almost bet that there's people here who's not sure, for sure. And somebody would even say, how can you know for sure? That's a good question. How can you know for sure? Well, let me tell you the whole goal of the devil and his forces. Look at verse 4, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Verse 3 says, but if the gospel be hid, is hid to them or lost. If whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What does it say? It says that the devil wants to blind your mind. I heard this a long time ago. It's never left my thinking. You got to control your thinking. The biggest battle in your life is right here. It's the biggest battle in your life. You, as a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible said, that's talking about right here, okay? So is he. If you don't think the devil gets behind depression, You don't think He whispers in your ear? You're not good enough? You'll never amount to anything? You don't think the devil says, you know how you grew up? You're going to be just like your mama. You're going to be just like your daddy. Somebody said sometime when they look at you, you remind me of Uncle So-and-so. You're thinking about Uncle So-and-so like, are you kidding? I ain't nothing like him. And then you get back home and you start thinking, boy, I am like him a lot. I do look a little bit like him. I'm thinking I'm not crazy. Maybe I am a little crazy like Keith. Listen, you don't think the devil can talk to you? He's talking to you right now. You can't look at him and say, he ain't said nothing to me. Oh yeah. He's been talking the whole time I've been talking. And all he wants to do is blind your mind. So you walk out of here just as confused as you was when you come in, and you don't have any idea how you're going to live tomorrow, but you'll do the best you can. At least I've been to church. Bobby, when that guy saw Jesus, he ran to Him. He ran to Him. Now let me show you in closing the last thing that I want you to see. I know you said that's the last thing. You know me, I got more last things. Look at verse 15. How did it go down, Brother Steve? Well, I'll just tell you the story how it went down. Those guys along the shore there were watching some pigs. And this crazy man, demons, start talking to Jesus. And by the way, demons know who Jesus is. And they acknowledge that He's God, by the way. They acknowledge He's God. You may have trouble acknowledging that Jesus is God. The demons don't. And they said, don't kill us! Don't kill us! If you would, put us in those pigs. And you know what happened? Jesus sent them out of the man, and they went into the pigs, 2,000 of them. You don't think this guy wasn't possessed? You may just have one demon. Some of you think, that's my wife. She's not really, technically. Listen, if you've ever had something going on in your life, you know there's probably more than one thing, aren't they? It's like a bunch. No, at one time, 2,000 of them ran into the pigs. Anybody know what the pigs did? The same force was trying. Listen, those demons were trying to kill this guy, cutting himself, trying to do everything in their power to kill him. And they jumped into the pig and they did the same thing to the pigs. They ran off into the sea and drowned. That's how the story ends. Almost. But read verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion setting, clothed in His right mind. I underline that phrase. I learned this a long time ago. I learned it the bad way and the hard way. And I got out on a Friday night as a teenager and got too much alcohol in me, Anita. Sometimes the next day, I had bruises and cuts. I didn't know, Scott, where they come from. You know why? Because alcohol had me so covered up, I couldn't feel or remember. And I would always say this, Patrick. Somebody say, when they see me Monday at school, they say, Steve, that's crazy what you did Friday. And I'll be like, Jennifer, I wasn't in my mind. So when I come across people who are battling different things, this is what I say, Amanda. They're not in their right mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, alcohol, drugs make you do crazy stuff. Maybe you've never done it. Praise God. But those of us who have, you are nodding and saying, you are right. But let me tell you about this guy. He met Jesus. and he was in his right mind. Wasn't naked anymore. I don't know if he fixed his hair. Sitting there, thinking right. You know why? Because Jesus changed his life. Here's how I would close with you all today. In Matthew 11, Jesus said this in verse 28. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Look at me in the room. Is there anybody in this room trying hard to fix something? I mean, you're like working at it hard, like day and night. You go to bed with it, you're working on it hard trying to fix it. You've been having anxiety. You've been working hard trying to fix it. Look at me. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that labor." You feel overwhelmed? You ever feel overwhelmed? That's heavy laden. And this is what He said, "I will give you rest." Who in this room this morning could use a little rest? Jesus is saying, hey, come to me. Don't come to the preacher. Come to me. Quit fighting it. This crazy man didn't run to town. He ran to Jesus. That's what you need today. Demons, real. They're real. I'm telling you all, they're real. Oh, our preacher's gone Pentecostal. Call me what you will. I'm telling you, demons are real. The devil is real. And he wants to control your life and keep you away from Jesus. Do you need Him today? Do you need Him today? That's the invitation. Let's stand and pray. Father, Lord, I thank You this morning for this story. Lord, my heart has been so burned this week with those who have talked about suicide, those who are struggling with other things, and Lord, the life, it just seems like it's overwhelming to them. As I've talked to many this week, and I felt their struggles, and Lord, I know it's real. Lord, I see this man who the evil forces had got in, and they were controlling him. And his life was a mess. But Lord, when he saw You, he went to You. And he found what he was looking for. True rest. Lord, I'm thankful for that story. Lord, I'm thankful also for the story in my life. When I needed it, You gave it to me. So Lord, I pray this morning, before you walk out of this building, if there's someone today who just needs to come and pray, somebody today who needs to come to Jesus, they've never really made Him their Savior, but today they need Him. And they want to come this morning and make that real in their life. Lord, I would pray that You would just move them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.